All right, you know about the problems we face here in terms of decreasing ranks in our membership and in terms of needing a full-time Bible teaching pastor. Let's talk about the solution to those problems today. And the solution is, love. That may sound trite, but it isn't. I'm going to make somewhat of a brash statement. And so in order to make that brash statement a little more palatable to you, I'm going to sandwich it between two disclaimers. And so here's the first disclaimer. In making this statement, I am not proclaiming my own faithfulness. I am keenly aware that I should have no confidence in my flesh, and I don't. And I admittedly am a sinner, and I expect to have to fight that battle by God's grace and mercy until my last breath. So I'm keenly aware of that. And so that's the first part of the sandwich. But here's the statement. And the statement is, I love God. I really, really love God. And I have good reason to. He's forgiven me from so much from before I accepted him, even after I accepted him. He's blessed me more than any man deserves with a family, a job, a friends, and a church. And I owe him everything. And even if I was to give him everything, the highest sacrifices I could make, it would seem trivial compared to what he's done for me. So let me finish the sandwich on that. The other side of the sandwich is I don't make that statement based on any special inherent ability of my own. When the Bible says we love God because he first loved us, it is true. I'm going to tell you a little story. It may seem kind of silly to you, but it's a true story. When I was age 19, before I became a Christian, this is going to sound crazy, but I remember being a little discouraged one day. Well, actually, I don't know how long it lasted, but I remember being a little discouraged and a little disheartened because I came to a realization of something. At age 19, I realized that I was extremely selfish, and I realized that I was actually incapable of loving properly. And I realized that I probably couldn't or probably shouldn't ever marry. I kid you not, a realization I had, and I was right. When you're like that, you probably couldn't and shouldn't marry. And I realized I couldn't change it on my own. And that this isn't the reason I accepted Christ. My reasons were far more desperate than that, far beyond that. This was a byproduct. But I remember the day I accepted Jesus Christ next to a dumpster, next to a dumpster between Taco Bell and McDonald's across from Betacheck. I remember that day riding back home with Bruce McDonald and coming to, you know, just having this pop into my head, you know, I might have a chance of getting married someday. Isn't that stupid? Of all the things he forgave me for, I just realized that, and I was right. Because God is love. And he has taught me, and he will keep teaching me. He's teaching me today, and he'll keep teaching me this the rest of my life as to how to love. That it's not a warm, mushy feeling, and it's a decision to do what's right and best for the other person. And it's a lesson that I don't expect to ever finish learning. So I want to just say right here is that I know that I'm not the only one here that would make that statement. I know that if you were given the chance, many of you would stand up here and gladly make that proclamation and that statement. I know that. And not only do I love God, I care for his local work here. And when I say, you know, church, I mean church, the people, not church, the building, church, the property. And I know that I'm not the only one here that would make that same statement as well. And the mere fact that you're still here, and not necessarily having woken up today, but the fact that you have endured to this point gives me confidence that you believe you would agree with that and you hold that same care. So the reason I say this is I'm not sitting here holding myself up as a standard, Because I'm not. God has set a way higher standard than I'll ever set. But I'm saying this to acknowledge that we have this in common. All of us. We have this in common. We love God, and we care for His local work here. Now, in the beginning of the summer, we began an effort which we called putting our house in order. We began promoting it, and we began implementing it. And it actually is an effort that can possibly work towards a solution on both problem areas, the decreasing ranks in membership and getting a full-time teaching pastor. And I say can because it depends on how and why you're doing it. And at this point, you might ask, you know, but what's love got to do with it? What's love got to do with putting your house in order? My answer to that would be love's got everything to do with putting your house in order. This effort for us to put our house in order is not some ploy that we've created to fool a prospective or a visitor or deceive a prospective pastor by some slick surface improvement we might make. This effort to put our house in order is an effort to make the external workings of MBF and the internal workings of MBF more accurately reflect our love for God and our care for His local work. So let me say that again. This effort to put our house in order is an effort to make the external workings of MBF and the internal workings of MBF more accurately reflect our love for God and our care for His local work. And I'm going to drive this home a little further. Have you heard, this is going to really be telling, have you heard of the acronym, I'm an engineer, I have to use acronyms, called WYSIWYG? You have to be an old-time computer geek to know what WYSIWYG means. Have you ever heard of WYSIWYG? Selman, I know you have to have heard of WYSIWYG. All right. Raise your hands, I want to see who's an old computer geek here. That's it? Well, I'm old. WYSIWYG stands for what you see is what you get. Okay? In the old days, computers, what you saw on the screen wasn't what you got when you printed it out. Now you take it for granted. I'm not kidding. I've modified that acronym, and you're going to laugh at me for it. I've modified it to say WYSIWALLY. Okay? And it now stands for what you see is where our love is. And let me explain how this works. It's kind of a self-evaluation test that I'd like you to actually go through mentally right now and in the future as you look around. Pretend you're on Manchac Road and you're driving down Loudon Lane. Okay? You're driving up to our church. Does what you see from the road accurately reflect our love for God and our care for His local work? And I'm going to, you know, if you can't visualize this in your head, next time you drive up, do it. Just ask yourself that question. Because that's the image we're projecting to the rest of the world, the other people that drive by. But anyhow, I'm going to kind of answer it for you, and I'm not going to be too hard on us. I'm really not. It's getting a little better, but it's got a ways to go. But let's keep going. You're driving, for some reason, you turn down the driveway, and you come up, and you park in front of the building. Does what you see as you drive down that driveway and get closer to the building, does it accurately reflect our love for God and our care for His local work? And again, I'd say, you know, it's getting a little better. 2 years ago, we began a remodeling effort for at least this main building on the outside, and it looks a little better, but there's still good ways to go. If you make it inside this building and sit down, does what you see inside this auditorium accurately reflect our love for God and care for His local work? And to that answer, I'd say it's getting much better. We actually have a few more tweaks we're going to do, and I'm going to explain what they are, but it's getting much better. If you were to exit out the kitchen door, go through all the other buildings, does what you see there accurately reflect our love for God and our care for His local work? And to that I'd answer, depends on what building I'm in. Some not so well, I hope, and some pretty good, although most of them aren't even really finished. It's you know, there's some things we never finished. Now, if you were to walk around the grounds, you'd start wandering around the pasture. Same question. Does what you see accurately reflect our love for God and care for His local work? And the answer to that is, well, at least now you can walk across the grounds. The jungle has been cut down, and I'll explain that in a little bit later. But there's some other things we noticed along that when that happened. We noticed there was cactuses and rocks everywhere. So we got a ways to go there. All right, let's make this more internal now. Does what you see with respect to the programs of Manchac Bible Fellowship, do they accurately reflect our love for God, our care for his local work? And I'm going to add a third thing. Are they effectively accomplishing our specific mission as a church? All right, let's make it even more internal. If people were to examine each one of our individual lives, would they see a disciple of Jesus Christ who loves God more than anything else in the world? And the last thing, is the last part of the self-test that I'd ask you to think about, and this is very, very important, maybe one of the most important ones, is if all men were to examine our love for one another, would they be absolutely convinced that we're disciples of Jesus Christ? And the reason I phrased that last one this way is because of this. In John 13, 34, I can remember that because it's Earl Campbell's number. In John 13, 34, it says this. Christ gives us a commandment. And he doesn't give us a lot of commandments. But he says this. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples. Because Christ said it, definitely repeats, it's worthy of repeating again. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And here's the test. If all men were to examine our love for one another, would they be absolutely convinced that we're disciples of Jesus Christ? Because if we fail on this point, everything else we're trying to do with respect to the improvements in putting our house in order, everything else is meaningless. It's in vain, because we're not going to convince anybody. Not a bit. So what have we been doing to try to put our house in order here in Manchac Bible Fellowship since the beginning of the summer? And one of the first things we started to do, I'm going to try to go through them chronologically and briefly, but one of the first things we tried to do was improve an aspect of our programming that was important to you as expressed in the questionnaires that we had submitted in May. And that was in the area of special music program. And what we did is a few representatives from the board met with the people that were involved in that ministry, heard from them, talked to them, and we developed a set of revamped music guidelines. And we also asked, and graciously, Diana Christian to serve as a special music coordinator for that program. And I think we've already seen some benefits from that, and I think we're going to see some more as time goes on. The next thing we're doing was more obvious, the carpet. And I say we. Did you hear that? I said the next thing we were doing. The reason I said we, and I'll explain why we did this. The carpet actually completed an effort that began 2 years ago to remodel this building. It got stalled because we ran out of funds at the time, and we needed to make sure we didn't shortchange or we were able to keep compensating the people we needed to pay. But we had sufficient funds to do this, so we finished recarpeting the main building, and it kills two birds with one stone. The carpet actually improves the facilities here, which was an eyesore. The carpet was an eyesore. So that helps there. And even more importantly, the carpet, the installation of the Awana Circle, provided a infrastructural, much-needed upgrade for Awana, because that's a program that we've ranked as number two in our church in terms of importance and things that we do well at. And that's a program that also has been struggling and waning in numbers. And we wanted to put our money where our mouth is, so to speak, and put the needed energy and effort to bring that up to snuff. So I'm going to start actually telling you costs of this, because the $48,000, that's how we all participated in this. I want to thank you for your faithful and generous giving that you've given. And don't freak out about the numbers when I hear it. You know, don't necessarily come tell me that could have been used to feed the poor. I'll agree with you. Yes, That money could have been used for it. We were kind of in a mode where we needed to put on our own oxygen masks first. The actual cost of installing this carpet was $7,600. Okay? And additionally, the next thing that we kind of turned our focus to was kind of the grounds. And if you remember, you may not know this, we originally owned 6 acres that our building was placed on. 2.5 acres became available roughly 10 years ago, immediately behind these 3 portables. And the real estate agent came and contacted us, and we said, yeah, we probably ought to get those just for future expansion. And so we picked those up. So we now have 8.5 acres. Of those 8.5 acres, I would estimate roughly 1/3 of that was being groomed in terms of just regular mowing. And what happens when you're with fields and things, a lot of these weeds literally grow up, and if they're allowed to grow completely, they go to seed, and more weeds pop up. So what we're trying to do is actually groom these fields. If you mow them regularly, the weeds never really get allowed to seed, and eventually they start dying out. So just by simply mowing and grooming them, you can actually reclaim this and some normal looking grass will grow up. You may like the pretty flowers. If you do, I'm sorry, from the weeds. But anyhow, to get there, we needed somebody to cut it down first. And if you hire somebody to mow your lawn, you may pay them what, $25, $50? This effort was about, to get a shredder and a tractor to do this job, we contributed $600 for that effort. Now, $600 to clear it, and it was money well spent. Now, what our hope is, we've been mowing this smaller section with consumer-grade mowers for the last 25, 30 years. Consumer-grade mowers won't cut mowing 8.5 acres, and they haven't been for the last year. These mowers have been dead, and Mark and his fire department has graciously been donating a consumer-grade mower to do the job. So what we have done is we actually made the investment to purchase a consumer-grade mower. It's a 61-inch wide cut, and it's not the highest end you can get, but it's definitely not the lowest end. It is a good quality mower, and we have it. And that mower cost approximately $8,000. Not cheap, okay? I'm somewhat comforted, because anytime I think I spend that kind of money, it better be moving and have a combustion engine on it. So I'm a little comforted by that. Now, you don't just sit an $8,000 mower out in the elements to get sun on it, rain on it, and get stolen. You don't do that, okay? So we had to obtain a storage building. And that Morgan storage building, you'll see it out there. 8-foot-wide door, ramp going up to it, 12 by 16, it holds this thing just fine. And Ron keenly recognized the security limitations of the little twist handle and has beefed it up. It is Fort Morgan now. And the front, they're not getting in the front. Yes, they can saw through the side, and they may do that. And towards that end, we recognized that, and we upgraded our insurance to cover the contents cost of our building from $12,500. The contents costs for the insurance are now $25,000 blanket for the whole buildings, which isn't a lot. If we actually lost everything and had to go about replacing it, you'd wish we had 3 times more than that. But it does pretty well accurately represent what it's worth right now if you were to go to try to sell it. And so that's fair. It's the beauty of having an old car. You don't have to get huge liability insurance. That cost extra, too. That's up to close to $3,000 annually for the insurance. Plus, at that time, we upgraded the building replacement costs, which hadn't been updated since the early 90s. And now we're at 100% replacement costs for the building, paying about $3,000 annually a year to it, which includes also some insurance for being a church, special for pastors. Okay, what are we planning to do? Or actually, I should say, what are we doing right now? What we're doing right now is that we're finishing up this building. Those 3 windows right there, the northmost window, when it rains hard, actually leaks water into this auditorium, which I am not wanting to let happen anymore. We went to a lot of trouble to get this carpet in here nice. I don't want water in on it anymore. Trey helped replace all these doors and kept water from coming in around the doors and underneath them. If we were still to get a kind of a rain bomb in this area, the way our drainage system is, it would still probably come in. But a normal rains, even if they come up to the window, barely eke across the driveway in a way. So we've kind of solved that, except for a rain bomb. A rain bomb will still come in, I believe. And those windows are scheduled to be replaced, and we are helping to the tune of $1,300 for that. All of them were broken pane, all of the mechanisms. They've served their useful life. It's time for them to get upgraded. And then we've hired some special interior designers to do window treatments. By the way, the interior designers are laughing at me because I haven't told them they're not getting paid yet. Okay. But we will pay for cost of materials. All right, what are we planning to do in the future? With respect to the grounds, we plan to clean up behind all the buildings. We plan to organize the two storage buildings to have a clean storage and a maintenance type storage. We plan to trim trees. We plan to pick up rocks, trim cactuses, and eliminate cactuses. Well, you can, the roots go, I know that the roots go forever under there, so that's why I say trim. And we're planning to have some work days in the fall. And it's gonna hopefully look a lot better around here. With respect to the pastoral search process, our hope is that we can now focus even harder on this in the fall and more frequently and maybe more faithfully so that that becomes kind of a top priority. Some of these other things were shifted up. We want to see that this pastoral search process become top priority. And my apologies to the other programs that are actively and faithfully going on in this church. There's Sunday school, there's Awana. I haven't even touched on those. There's many other programs that I haven't touched on that work towards faithfully accomplishing the mission of our church. I'm sorry we couldn't cover that today. Thank you for your faithfulness, the people that are involved in that, and the music program. And then I'd like to say, in conclusion, you knew the problems we face. The solution to those problems is love. A visitor who is either a believer or an unbeliever that comes into this church is much more likely to be attracted to this church if they see a church that reflects God's love, that loves one another as He loved us, and the people that care for this local work, they're much more likely to stick, and members are much more likely to stay in a church like that. And a prospective pastor that sees a church that loves God, loves one another, cares for this local work is much more likely to be convinced that we'll care for him and we're going to follow God and work alongside him. He's much more likely to be convinced. Now, you might be sitting there going, you know, I agree with everything you say. You know, what do you want me to do? And I'd say it this way. I don't have a list for you that you can check off in terms of activities, because that would actually be that would be limiting. What I do have is, if you haven't been doing this, do this. If you have, thank you for doing it. Keep doing it. But I'd say this. Put your love in order. And not my order. If you'll notice, this is coming out of the Word of God. I put it in God's order. I want you to love God first and foremost, and don't let anything ever take His place. Number one. Number two, love one another as Christ loved you and gave himself up for you, and so prove to all men that we are his disciples. And the third thing is to care for his local work here. And if we'll get this right, if we really get this right, then we will have a light here that's worth staying lit. Let's close in prayer. Dear God, we love you, and we really need you, and we believe that you care about us and are there to help us. So I just want to thank you for everybody here in this auditorium. And God, it was by no means my intent to make anybody feel bad at all, because I don't want anybody doing anything, God, out of a spirit of guilt. But I want I would like that all people serve you in every area of their life out of spirit of love for you. So I pray that you'd guide in our hearts and minds, and we entrust this work to you, since it has always been your work and will always remain your work. In your name we pray. Amen.